What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now from CSURams.com, Mike Brohard. Mike, a nice little Monday night for the Moby Arena crew.
I think so, yeah. When you open up with a doubleheader sweep, I think everybody's pretty happy.
I believe so. It was a little scary there for a moment. Again, it's the first game of the season. You're going to see just teams trying to gel, players trying to gel. But for the men's side of things, man, once they got it going, that roster is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. And you've got some new pieces. You know, when you look at the starting five, there's three new starters, right? You know, Josiah wasn't really around last year. And then you've got Neek and Joel coming in, and they're joining Patrick and Isaiah. And so, yeah, there's some things that have to be worked out. And then there's different combinations that end up hitting the floor. And you've got to find a way. It's different, you know, from practice, you know, when everybody knows what the other guy's going to kind of do, to you go up against a team like La Tech, they've got some athleticism. No, they've got some guys that can play. They were hitting some tough shots, especially early in both halves, I thought. I didn't think CSU's defense was actually that bad, but La Tech was hitting some shots, right? Some contested ones. But you got to deal with that. But I thought it was interesting when Isaiah said the main thing he kind of came away with it was, you don't know how these guys are going to react when they're in a tough situation that's not practice, but in a game. And he found out that they're going to be a pretty resilient team.
Yeah, and defensively, you're right. It felt like everything Louisiana Tech was putting up was going in for a while. And then that defense just really started to click. You were seeing, you know, Joel Scott. I mean, he is quickly becoming one of my favorites on this team. He gets a couple of blocks, but it wasn't just the blocks. It was the defense, how they were moving around on the floor there, especially the last, I don't know, when they started making that comeback, was it like around the 8-minute mark, you started to see a really aggressive defense.
They were, you know, Nico said they made a couple adjustments with the way they were switching so that they wouldn't get so spaced out on the floor, and that helped. But the one thing that Joel does bring to this team that it didn't really have last year was that physical presence, that toughness in the paint, basically anywhere on the court. And they needed that, and that's something that he gives. And then you look at Neek, and he brings a lot of athleticism to that floor, the way that he can clog up passing lanes, his length. You know, they just needed to kind of settle in and find out. And I think you'll see a team their next game out where it's a little bit more settled right from the start, and they can get playing more to the style that they think they're going to get to. It's going to be a while through non-conference before really they work out all the kinks, they figure out what rotations work, the spacing of subs, things like that. It's going to take a little bit of a spell, but it's definitely a great starting point, especially when you have a 17-1 run that takes you from an 11-point deficit that gives you a lead.
Yeah, and just kind of, like you said, gelling with these guys. I mean, individually, if you just look at them and the way they move and operate on the floor, Joel Scott, Neek Clifford, and then like you said with Josiah Strong, it almost feels like he's a new player. Just watching those guys individually, you can tell, okay, these guys are studs, but that's easier said than done trying to gel everybody together, especially, you know, when you've got a guy in Isaiah Stevens, one of the best passing point guards, you know, ever, certainly for Colorado State, being able to kind of work with him and figure out the way he does things. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily a shock to see them have a slow start, but you got to love that finish.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because if you look at the way that the game played out, Isaiah wasn't really all that aggressive in the first half. It was almost like he was trying to figure out, okay, it's a game, not practice. How do I get these guys in the best possible position where they can score the basketball? And then when things got tight, he became more aggressive, and I think that opened up the game. You know, I think it really helped lead to his double-double. But no, I mean, you can have five talented players, but if they don't play as one, you've just got five talented players trying to do their own thing. You have to have a team to work, you know, you have to have a team to be successful. And I think with someone like Isaiah, you never have to fear that five guys are just going to go off on their own. He's going to make sure that they somehow find the right way to play as a team, that fits all their styles of play, that works within the system that Nico has.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. How much of an impact do you think freshman Kyan Evans is going to have on this team? I was happy to see him play a little bit. He got a nice steal, took it down for a quick layup there. I'm hearing a lot of great things about him, but how much, like, as far as this season, maybe even in the early portion, do you think he'll be out on the floor?
He's going to get his looks because I think they like what he can bring offensively. He's a lot like a lot of high school kids coming up. This is a much more physical level of playing defense, you know, working through screens, things like that, getting hit by bigger bodies. Those things are going to take some time, and defense is always going to dictate a lot how much you spend on the floor. But they're going to give him some wiggle room to work through some of those things and get used to it because he does provide an offensive spark, or they really feel like he's going to. So I think you're going to see him get some ample minutes. Now, last night, you know, they cut down from a 10-person rotation to 7. And Nico said that wasn't really what he wanted to do, but that's kind of what the game dictated. And this next game out could be something different. So I do think you're going to see Kyan get some more time and definitely get the opportunity to earn as much time as he can.
Mike, on the women's side, it was kind of a similar story, I suppose. A rough start for the Rams on that side, but then they come back. They end up winning that thing 69-49. Again, this is I know you always say never bet on college sports. I always say definitely don't bet on college sports at the beginning of seasons because you have no idea what to expect.
I think what I say is never, ever, ever bet on Mountain West football. That's my one given.
That's a good. I should follow that rule.
I'm glad I work at CSU because I'm forbidden from gambling, so I would never have the temptation to look at a game and go, I think I know what's going to happen in the Mountain West, because it never does. So, but no, I think what I've seen so far in the early going from the women in their exhibition and then from last night. They did get off to a rough start shooting. You're not going to see Hannah Ronsick miss open threes like that very often. I think Jackie Carman, who was pegged as the newcomer of the year preseason, she hasn't hit a shot yet, but her shot is so quick and it is so smooth. It's just a matter of time before she finds her range and gets that. Megan Boyd looked great last night. McKenna looked exactly like she always does. But I think, you know, Sonya Strom, she looks really good in this system. And I think that's going to help out a lot. And then Callie Clark, if she exerts herself and rebounds like that all season, that's going to help a ton.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Rough weekend for a lot of football teams, Mike. I was really happy to see to be watching basketball last night after what happened on the football side, because it was a rough go. And of course, Colorado State, it just wasn't there. Turnovers ultimately killed this team. Now they do have a chance, though. They got a chance to win 3 in a row. We were just talking to Jack Howell about that and what it's going to take. And as you know, they're looking at this kind of like, hey, these are the playoffs. Yeah, I know we still got to play them either way, but lose one and there we go.
Yeah, and that's the approach you got to take, because I know they all still want to go to a bowl game, and that was a goal to be in the season. And they can still do that. That's not been eliminated yet. But you have no wiggle room. So you have to put everything that you have into the first game you play, so that the next game there's still that same chance. And then the third game there's still that same chance. I mean, it's interesting right now in the Mountain West. Only one team has been eliminated from bowl contention, and that's Nevada, who the Rams play next week. San Diego State comes into town this week with the same scenario. They've got to win their last three to get postseason eligible, which is something they're used to doing. But the nice thing is Colorado State has 2 weeks at home. Some of the injury concerns that they've had, the ailments that have slowed down some players, that's an extra day, really, with not traveling, that you can spend in the training room, that you can sleep in your own bed, that you can get better rest, you can take care of your body a little bit better, and hopefully they're a little bit fresher on Saturday when you come out and play, right? That's the hope.
Mike, what can you tell us about Torrey Horton? I mean, the guy is just a freaking battler. He's going to go out there. I mean, they're pretty much going to have to hold him down to not have him play, because he just wants to be out there all the time. Do you have any update status as far as he's concerned?
Yeah, I think he's getting better, but he's never going to be 100% through the end of the season. I don't think you get him to that point. But you're right, the kid's a gamer. He wants to win. He's very dedicated to Norvell and his staff and his program. And so he's going to go out and give everything that he's got. The interesting thing is, you know, you're going to need to see some more out of Ross Simmons and Lewis Brown to take some of the heat off of them, Dallin Holker as well. And I think that can do it. But the main concern right now is it's got to be the turnovers. You got a negative turnover ratio with a defense that is above pace for, you know, they've exceeded what they've gotten turnover-wise in probably the last 7 years. And if a defense does that, you would hope that you would be on the positive side, and they're not.
Speaking of the turnover side of it, you know, again, young quarterback with Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, you know you're going to get some of those. I know those were really tough to take in that sequence where Wyoming misses a field goal. The Rams get the ball, have an opportunity, a turnover there. Wyoming scores, and then another turnover. How's he doing at this stage? How's the coaching staff kind of, you know, handling this situation? Because it's one of those where, yeah, you don't want him to turn over, but you also got to be careful. You don't want to completely destroy the guy's confidence.
This is the point where I tell you should wait till 2 o'clock and read what I wrote about today on CSURams.com. Is that it?
This is the part where I say, what do you got going for us at CSURams.com, Mike?
That's the story. So I did. I talked to Braden about it yesterday. I talked to Matt Mummy. We talked to a bunch of people about it. There's some things that you know you're going to have to live with a young quarterback. There are some mistakes he's made that Matt Mummy really wishes he would have gotten past by now. There's also, you can't dampen his creativity or his confidence, because that kind of makes him special when we've seen him special. So they've got to walk a little bit of a fine line. But the bottom line is ball security has to be priority number one for him moving forward, or this dream of the playoffs, it goes kaput pretty quick, right? I mean, the last 2 weeks, they've been in both of those games. You know, you're tied with Air Force, and you don't score in the third quarter. And then you're down three to Wyoming, and not only do you not score, you have two turnovers that lead to 14 points that allows Wyoming to just turn the game on its head. Those things can't happen anymore. They've got to find a way, because that's working on a story on that for Wednesday. Third quarter has just been the bane of their existence in conference play. They've been outscored 51-10. They're not, the last 2 weeks, they've had two drives in each of the third quarter. They're not converting on third down. They're not sustaining drives. And it's putting the defense in a rough spot, you know, right there in the third quarter. So they've got to find a way to come out of the locker room with some fire and some tenacity and not let the game get away from them.
51-10 in the third quarter. We'll see if they can correct that. Three games remaining for Colorado State. Well, they're hoping to make it four if they can win these next three. Mike, always appreciate your insight. I will check that out. I'm very interested to see kind of how they are handling the situation with a young quarterback. Always appreciate your time, my man.
That's right about the time you get off work, so it gives you something to do, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the show gets over it too, but the work never really ends. You know,
yeah, how it goes. I get that. Well, I'm just glad to hear you're kind of sounding positive this week. And
well, it was a positive night. It was a positive night, you know. And I'm still waiting on your reply. Invite me to come over. I want to sit right next to you, Mike. Moby.
You're always invited.
Well, yeah, but right next to you. I want to be the guy that's learning from you.
I think what you like to do is sit on your couch and live tweet six different events at one time, which I would find completely confusing.
Well, luckily, I don't get confused easy, Mike. You know this. But actually, I don't like that. I'm a simple kind of guy. I really want one game in front of me that I can really lock into. But it just so happened that it's Monday night. UNC got a later tip because the women's game went longer. So they started right around the time CSU started. The Nuggets are rolling at that point. And then I got Monday Night Football on. So I don't like that, really. I mean, one or two games is fine, but four or five is rough. That's too much for me.
So you are saying you get distracted?
Yeah, I do sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Okay. Appreciate you, man.
Take care. Next week.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. No, actually, I don't like watching and paying attention to three or four different games. But, Angel, you do the work. You got to do the work, man. The people need to know. The people need to know what's going on. And you got to follow along. You know, they want our takes on what's going on in these games. And that's what we try to do. So I was trying to go back and forth with UNC, Nuggets, Rams. Then as the Bears started to really pull away, I was like, it's a blowout. I'm not gonna give too many updates here. It's a blowout. CSU was interesting for a while, and then the Nuggets was interesting, and then the Nuggets turned into a blowout. So all the focus then went to Colorado State. The way I operate is I'm gonna go with what we cover, until it doesn't become interesting. And then I'm going to really dial in on what's the most interesting when we get into those situations where there's a lot of different games. You know how it goes, right? 38 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.